The world is changing in ways that seem to be faster than most of us can process. What looks like a divide is an opportunity to build bridges. The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine Sullivan is 1 hour that connects with people from all over the world, finding ways to orchestrate our oneness. Yes, we have more in common than we may sometimes perceive. Tune into The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine as we discover answers to life's most interesting questions and build a bridge of love. Come on in. Join me on this adventure. I want to know how you plan to change your precious corner of the world.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine, and I am your host, Jeanine Ouellette Sullivan. I'm so happy to be with you today. You're listening to this program over the Dream Vision 7 radio network, and you can learn more about this show and all the other fabulous programs by searching Dream Vision 7, that's the number 7, radio.com, dreamvision7radio.com. You can hear my show every Wednesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week to this show. It's something I feel passionate about and just love doing, and I'm really happy to be with you. I want a special note to thank the young man who produces the music for my show. His name is Reese Arnold. He's an autistic gentleman who produces and composes music that is absolutely beautiful. I so enjoy hearing it on this programming. You can learn a little bit more about Reese Arnold and his work and different things he's up to. He's an inventor of games. You can find him on Facebook by searching Reese. That's REECE-CycledFun. Reese Cycled Fun. He's just an extraordinary young man, and I really would love it if you could get familiar with him. I wanted to say a few words before we get to the show. As I said, I'm so passionate about being here on Dream Vision 7 Radio and hosting this show and bringing you guests that I think have something interesting and insightful to offer us all. A few months ago, I asked myself a few questions. One of the questions was, how can I step firmly into a leadership role? How can I make a difference in this world? How can I be the change, the positive change in a world that, a change that's so desperately needed, in my opinion? And in part, that's why I do this show each week, is to bring forward those kinds of things that promote positive change. I think it's very important these days. The divide between people is greater than I've ever seen it. And I think, in a sense, that is as old as time. And unfortunately, many of us are conditioned to think there are great differences between us. And in my opinion, that is just not true. We have a lot in common. We have more in common than we may realize at times. I think it's important not to buy into those kinds of things that convince us that one person belongs on one side and the other person belongs on the different side. I call myself and I call you, the listeners, to become bridge builders of sorts and forge some kind of connection between these divides. They really take us in a wrong direction, and I think we're all called these days to identify our gifts, our passions, that sort of thing, and bring them forward. My guests have done just that. I actually call them my guests semi-famous people, and I call them that because they are people who did identify their gifts and their purpose and their calling in their heart and soul, and then they brought it forward to their families, their communities, and some of them brought brought it beyond that on the global scene. And that's really something we all can do. We can identify those things in ourselves that we feel passionate about. We can look for a cause that resonates with us, something that needs to be fixed a bit, something that needs to change, something that needs to be lifted up. These are all things that all of us can do, and I ask myself and I ask you to make it a devotion over this coming year to identify those things and see where you can be that positive change in your corner of the world. I know, we may never cross paths. However, the energy of what we do certainly does cross paths with each good deed, each act of kindness, each action and activist step we take. So this is something I feel strongly about. I've talked about it on previous shows, and that's just my take on the current situations that do tend to divide us. I think we could become very conscious of those things and take a peek and see if there really is that much of a division between all of us. I don't think so. My guest today is a woman who is forging bridges between concepts herself, and I'm very excited to have her here. She's a woman who took a very difficult time in her life and transformed it into a tool. She tapped into the learning curve that traumatic times often can provide, and she put it to good use on many levels. And one of those uses is she's just written a wonderful book, and I'm very happy to bring her in today. Her name is Gilda Arruda. She has written the book License to Live, 38 Steps to Your True Self. She's got some awesome insight, and I'm very happy to bring her here today to speak with us. Welcome, Gilda. Come on in.
Hello, Janine. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a thrill for me to have you here today, Gilda. You know, when I heard of your story, I was very curious. And when I get curious, I just have to connect with a person and learn a little bit more. You recently lost your husband to cancer, and I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about that just to sort of get the audience familiar with your story.
Very good. Well, let me start at the beginning. The story always has a beginning. So I will go back to my beginning. My beginning is that I was a teenager when I got married, and by the age of 19, I already had two kids. I feel like I was married to him even before I was born, believe it or not. Maybe in another lifetime, perhaps. Always makes me smile when I think of that. My husband was diagnosed, and 9 months later, he passed. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And even with his gentle passing, though, I felt an awful separation pain within my heart. However, he shared with me his vision of divinity and his understanding of the process left me feeling peaceful and very much aware of the gift of life. Sometimes we don't pay too much attention to that, to the gift of life. And that's what he left with me. Be aware, life is a gift.
Well, that's true. And I think we get so busy in day-to-day living that we do forget the gift of life. I think it's intriguing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That your husband was in tune to that sort of thing and was able to share that very special thought process with you. That must have been very comforting.
It was. It was. He actually woke me up at 3 in the morning and asked if I was awake, and I said yes, and he continued to tell me, what he had just experienced. And we knew what was ahead of him, and so we talked about it, and he was so in a different place that many people find themselves when they're faced with what's coming,
mm-hmm. What was some of the insight he experienced during that time?
He was actually shown. He was actually shown where he was going, and when he tried to describe the surroundings, the beauty of it, he says there isn't words to explain it. Words were inadequate. And he went on to say the conversation he had, and he went on to say the people he saw there, and also how he was told that he needed to come back, but he was going to return. Not so long of a time. He would be returning very soon.
Wow.
He had a huge smile on his face. And he was ready. He was ready to go. Yeah.
So it sounds like he was able to go peacefully.
He did. He was ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knew what was coming. And, you know, in other words, what he came to realize, and something we all know but no one ever wants to talk about, every life has a date on it, has an expiration date. And he says, my time is coming, prepare yourself. Never once did he say, I need to prepare myself. It was always, Jilda, prepare yourself. You need to prepare yourself that I'm going to be leaving. So,
Did you feel somewhat prepared? I mean, it's always a shock, even with that level of conversation, but still, the loss is there.
Yeah, the loss. So,
well,
I found, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted, you know, for our listeners, because that's true, you know, the loss is there. You were married for a long time. And even though you had the gift of that very intimate and spiritual conversation, you still lost your husband, and the void was there. It was I'm sure, palpable, you know, right away that...
You know...
Go ahead.
After the families, after he died, I buried him. 2 days later, everybody went on their way. People had to travel. People got on planes. People went home. And I remember going to bed, and I got up again in the middle of the night, and I said, okay, I have to make some changes. And right away I did. Right away I started, and I thought of his words, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for the changes that are coming. And the first thing I did was I started going through clothes, moving furniture around, getting rid of all kinds of stuff. And within 3 days, you know, I did what I needed to do. And I didn't wait. You know, grief, everyone is different. It's a very personal thing. Everybody grieves differently. And I just kept going back to what he told me and how to prepare myself. And I acted on it.
Well, I think that's very enlightened on your part, Jilda, because, you know, clearly you did the prep work. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. What was the first thing you noticed about your life after your husband's passing? Now, when I say your life, I mean apart from all the roles, apart from mother and wife and the rest of it. What was the first thing you noticed?
Actually, it was within, you know, when you're there with people, you know, you're like a robot, and you go from person to person comes to you. But when I found myself alone, a few days after that, I found myself questioning the whys, and there were so many whys, Janine. And then I started concentrating on my own existence, and I asked myself two questions, you know. I asked, who am I? Why am I alone? How do you do that without feeling or falling into the self-pity syndrome? And I did not want to do that. I wanted to avoid the pity and the seduction of rage. I didn't want to have that rage of the why am I alone? And the why, who am I? Without him, who am I? And so, yes, I did have those questions. Those were the first things I started noticing, was that after I did what I had to do inside the house and I was busy with this and that, and then when my mind started to settle down, it was the question of, okay, who am I now? I was no longer who I was, but I was still not who I'm supposed to be. So who am I, and why? Why am I alone? You know? And, but I did not want the pity, and I didn't want, mm-hmm. I don't want to feel mad. I didn't want the rage. So mm-hmm. yeah, I did notice that about myself.
Well, why and who am I? I think are fabulous questions, and we really could ask ourselves those questions every day. Mm-hmm. And I'd like mm-hmm. to just linger with that a little bit, because I think men and women both, when they lose a spouse or a partner mm-hmm. they've had for a very long time, even, mm-hmm. you know, not so long a time, the intimacy mm-hmm. of those kinds of relationships really forge bonds that don't heal easily after the person mm-hmm. passes. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, you know, what you think about that whole process, because for our listeners, who some of which may be dealing with the loss, asking who they are, who we are after that partner has passed, that's a big question. Mm-hmm. Did you come up with some answers to that?
I did, and I come up with quite a few answers, not like in and there. I did not do that like in and there. It took me, it took me about 8 weeks. It was when I left. I had to leave. And I had to, you know, you have to settle your mind. You have to settle mm-hmm. your thoughts and to ask those questions. And the answers mm-hmm. came later on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just
because
want to
break
it up.
Although
Jody, you're breaking up a tiny bit.
Okay. Although the answers are there, sometimes we're not ready to face them. And so
right.
so the answers don't come because it's a blur.
Yeah.
You don't want to face those answers. You don't want to face reality. The reality is I'm alone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still Gilda. I'm still Gilda. But I am alone. So.
Yep. You had to, by the sound of it, you had to discover who Gilda was apart from
being
a wife. And I'm guessing your children are grown and all
that's
of
right.
that. So it was a while
mm-hmm.
back you
mm-hmm.
had to discover who you mm-hmm. were apart from
mm-hmm.
being mom as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah.
all stages.
And that was, it was the journey. It was a journey.
It is a journey. And I want to remind everyone, Gilda has just released a book. It's called License to Live. It's 38 mm-hmm. steps to discovering your true self. Now, Gilda, you know,
mm-hmm.
here we are. We're talking about the steps that you
mm-hmm.
took
mm-hmm.
And to deal with the loss. And I think I have a feeling that you began to grieve even before your husband's passing because you knew it was inevitable.
Correct.
So
Correct.
Those steps were all in process. And
Correct.
then since. So let's
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about maybe a couple of particular steps,
mm-hmm.
deliberate steps that you took to discover who you were.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard to stay in the setting that you lived in every day with that person and continue to live in that setting and that familiarity that's around you, the people, the friends. All of a sudden, you know, you feel like you have the third wheel, as people say. And I felt alone, you know, the other two people sitting side by side, I'm feeling alone. And I needed mm-hmm. to get my thoughts together. So 2 months after his passing, I went on a six weeks retreat. And this retreat was one person deal. It was for me. I retreated
mm-hmm.
to a beach house in Florida. It wasn't about feeling right or feeling brave. Had nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
that. I just needed to clear all the clutter that when you go to bed, those midnight thoughts that come to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to address the most private of emotions that I
mm-hmm.
felt, that no one knew about, but I felt. And I wanted
mm-hmm.
to slow down my grieving just a little bit because I needed to be alone with my thoughts. I needed the isolation. Without the explanation, I didn't want to explain. So I wanted the isolation without the explanations. I didn't want to explain, why are you quiet? What are you thinking about? What are you looking at? So on that beach, I used to look out over the water and my questions became clear and clearer and I heard the answers. So I wrote notes.
Mm.
I started to take notes because everywhere I go, no matter where I am in my pocketbook, you'll always find a pink notebook. And mm-hmm. so I would always bring my little bag with me, my notebook, pulled my notebook out, and I took notes. And then I started to observe my surroundings. I also took notes of the sand, the water, and the sky. And, of course, the people that walked by, the people that stopped mm-hmm. to say hello, and all of those things. And, you know, it was very therapeutic for me to sit there and ask my questions, looking out into the water and just speaking out. And all of a sudden, the answers were as clear as the blue sky. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you were really onto something to take the time alone mm-hmm. and the quiet time. Many of mm-hmm. us avoid mm-hmm. it so much. We get so busy after we've had a traumatic event, whatever it mm-hmm. may be, and we mm-hmm. neglect that very needed time to really dive deep into mm-hmm. our own heart and soul and figure out, you know, what it all means. I'm going to hold you there, Gilda. We're up against the break.
Okay.
Tune in, everyone. We'll be right back in a few moments.
Okay.
What does courage mean to you? To Philomena Tripp, it means living the life you were born to live. Author of Invisible Courage, Philomena Tripp shares with us the importance of self-worth and how necessary it is to love who we are. Born in 1955 with multiple birth defects, no arms, and only one leg, Philomena knew in order to survive she would have to rally all her courage, faith, and persistence and live fully. Invisible Courage, a personal story of one woman's desire to beat the odds, finding success, falling in love, and most of all, discovering that her life matters. Find Invisible Courage on Amazon or by visiting philomenatripp.blogspot.com.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Everyone has an interesting story, and those stories can answer important questions. There's an open invitation waiting for you on the road with Cove Queen Janine. Join Janine and her guests from all over the world with people from all walks of life with fascinating stories on the road. This out-of-the-box hour is on every Wednesday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Let's meet there. Remember, we all have great stories to share.
The Road with Cove Queen Janine cares about rare. The rare and very underfunded condition called vanishing white matter disease is no exception. VWM is a progressive and fatal disease of the brain. VWM is part of the leukodystrophy group of rare genetic disorders that affects the myelin sheath that surrounds nerve fibers in the brain. This brain disease is often diagnosed between the ages of 2 to 6. Children gradually lose all the ability and skills they had acquired, such as speaking, walking, and the ability to eat by mouth. Currently, there is no cure for this terminal disease. We're in a race against time to find a cure for VWM. Time is not on our side. Most children born with this genetic disease die at an early age. Research efforts are greatly underfunded and there's little awareness. Please help us. Hashtag find a cure for VWM and save a child's life. To learn more about VWM, visit www.aftau.org/VWM. To donate to support Professor Orna Elroy Stein, Ph.D. in Human Molecular Genetics and Research, please make your check payable to AFTAU and mail it to American Friends of Tel Aviv University, AFTAU, 39 Broadway, Suite 1510, New York, New York, 10006. Attention Joe Huber, Orna VWM Research, or online at www.crowdrise.com/find a cure for VWM.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. You're here listening to The Road with Cove Queen Janine. I am your host, Janine Sullivan, and you can hear my show every Wednesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guest today is author Gilda Arruda. We're having a very stimulating conversation about her journey that led her to write her newly released book. Gilda, let's pick up where we left off. You were sharing how you were, you know, tuning into nature and really getting in touch with your thoughts, who you are. Tell me, you know, the truth is that when we're sorrowful, people like to chime into that and just reinforce our pain and sorrow. You were trying to not go down that road. So share with the audience all about that.
I just wanted to add one more thing, is that when you're in that place of loneliness, sadness, and you really don't know where to turn and what you're going to do next, what are you going to do? Are you going to sell the car? Are you going to sell the house? What are you going to do? And what I noticed is a good intention friends, family members, and so many other people that they just want to, oh, it must be awful, how sad it is. And I think they think that it's your obligation to mourn for, I don't know what the time limit is, but they, in my eyes, and what I've experienced is, you know, I can remember when my husband was so sick over Christmas, because he died the following April, and he was so sick, and I went outside, and I decorated the whole house outside, and I had a Christmas tree up in a window, and so I went somewhere, and I met someone, and she said, boy, aren't you in a good mood, considering what your husband's going through? I went by your house, and you have the house lit up like La Salette, and that really took me back, and I said, I live in a house of the living. My husband is still alive. Mm-hmm. My husband's not dead. So I think people, for whatever reasons, of their own, like to keep you in that sad place, and I needed to get out. I just need, and I did, and I did.
Well, very wise of you, I think, Gilda, to take that choice, and very bold, too, because it's true, you know, we experience the death, a loss, and it just activates other people's losses, too, so it becomes that pity party that you did not want to engage in. So I want to thank you for sharing all that with us.
Thank you.
And again, your book is called License to Live, 38 Steps to Discovering Your True Self. I'm always interested in talking to people who have discovered their gifts, and your gift is writing. Could you share with us what it feels like when you're writing, when you go to that place? I have to think, as you have been getting to know yourself, apart from everything else, that you've really tapped into that sense of yourself. And I want our listeners to hear the examples of what it means for you to tap into that side of yourself and let that blossom.
You know, after my husband's death, nothing stayed the same. Everything traveled, everything changed. And one thing that did not change was that I love to write. You're right. Writing to me is a mood changer. It actually reworks my attitude. I love to write in one of nature's favorite settings, for me, is outdoors. I love to be in the presence of water. To me, there's life in the water. I love to listen to the sound of the waves. In the silent stillness, our eyes can see more. You can hear more. And your thoughts reveal it's really in your heart. And again, for me, words are nourishment and part of my spiritual connection. So whenever I write, I read it back to myself. It's talking to me. And my passion is found in those muted moments that cause you to pause and breathe and just be thankful. And so I write, and I write about these experiences that I have in those muted moments, in the moments that I see in the stillness and the quiet, otherwise that I wouldn't be able to see. And that's my passion, Janine.
Do you feel that your writing has really brought you to the deepest part of Gilda?
I think it has, because I have shared on License to Live questions that I asked and the questions that Spirit felt fed me. And so that's the Jilda. And like a Janine, this is Janine that your listeners are listening to, that I'm talking to, but there's a deeper Janine. And so, you know, you could ask, has Janine put out there everything about Janine? Has Jilda put out there everything about Jilda? And mm-hmm. I feel that with this License to Live, the 30th steps to your true self, is what I wrote mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm. It's a curious title, Jilda. License to Live. You know, when I read that title, I felt a little bit liberated just reading the title. What made you come up with that?
You know, when you look at License to Live, the first thing that pops into your mind, my mind, is it's like a marriage license. What is a marriage license? It gives you permission to the next step in that relationship. So mm-hmm. I gave myself permission to step into a new role, a new relationship with me. So came the title, License to Live.
So you liberated yourself with this book to a certain degree. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, your 38 steps to true self, that begs another mm-hmm. question. Why 38? Why not 50 or 365? What mm-hmm. what led you to that particular number?
Mm-hmm. You know, Janine, life changes are so deeply personal. Often, this is something that we need help with, even though the process is defined by the individual. I wrote many notes, and at that time, I had no idea what God was planning for me. Mm-hmm. And then one day, and during those 6 weeks, I stopped writing. I went over the pages of my notes, and I found 38, and I was stumped. And I said, that's odd. I'm going to try to finish. Either that or cut it down to a month, maybe a month, 38. Or, you know, why 38? Why not 30? Why not 365? So I was stumped, and the next day I went out, brought my notebook, and again, I had nothing to write. There was nothing. It was empty. So I didn't know. All I knew, Janine, was that I was going to use it, and I was going to use it because Spirit had given it to me. Mm-hmm. So all mm-hmm. those answers to my questions, I was going to use it. I didn't know how. I didn't know it was going to become a book. But I did know that I was going to write it somewhere, post it on Facebook, do something with it, try to help someone else with it. But there's a reason why there is 38 and not 365. Mm-hmm. That's my answer to your question, because I have no other explanation other than I went, you know, blank. I had nothing else to write.
Yeah, that was it. You started mm-hmm. at a certain point, and there you finished that.
That was it.
38 steps, and that was just mm-hmm. for you and your experience, just what you needed to bring you forward and continue on in your life. So it sounds like you practice your own 38 steps, too.
I do. You know, I have learned that because grief has its own timeline, grief can be slow to unravel its message, because while grief keeps you in grief, it's teaching you something. Mm-hmm. And life didn't stop because of my griefing, Janine. Rather than isolating myself, I chose to feel it and not feed my sorrow, because I could have fed my sorrow by feeling sorry for myself, and I was not going to go there. And mm-hmm. for anyone going through a loss, however torn you may feel, however confused you may feel, these emotions of loss or of betrayal or of a rejection, they are expressions of sorrow. You need to feel them, but you can't feed them. Because this book, License to Live, could be the loss of a friend. You know, someone's rejected you. I remember many years ago, my mom lost a friend. She didn't die, but she moved very far away. And mm-hmm. so they lost that connection. You know, they lost the connection of talking to each other every day. And my mother mourned her like she died because she never saw her, never heard from her again. And she had a bad marriage and she had to flee with her children. So it could be the loss of a friend, the loss of a limb. When you lose part of a limb, you lose part of yourself. So
It's true, you know, and I have to interject here because, you know, you actually rang a bell with me just saying that. And loss can be take so many different forms. I myself, I could have used your book a few years ago. I had a year where it was a two-year stretch, actually. I lost my mom, and then I lost my brother 2 years later. And a few months after that, the dog died. And I thought it was crushing, Gilda. And I was just wailing in tears, and I said, oh, even the dog is gone, you know, and it was just so wrenching. And you are right when you say there's certain people around us who want to sort of fuel that sorrow and pain.
That's right.
We do have to feel it. In our own time, in our own mind, have to feel the experience ourselves. Yeah. You're absolutely correct with that. And there's no time frame. It happens when it happens, and it's personal, it's private. We share what we want, but the experience of it all is deeply, deeply private. And you there, you were on a sandy beach, you know, releasing your emotions to the ocean. Right. And sometimes that's exactly how it all happens. And I want to thank you for sharing that with us all, because it's so personal. Thank you for saying that your life continued. You know, we can't, I don't think we can let trauma end our life. It's often a new starting point. And it sounds like that's what happened with you. It was a new starting point. You're in territory you've never been in before, I think. Here you are at a certain point in your life, and you have this new open space.
Yeah.
You know, where do you go? What do you do with it all?
That's right. And you know what? Till today, I still practice the 38 steps, you know. With 38 steps, I notice that what I value, and I work on those values, Janine. Mm-hmm. It's a personal companion that touches your soul. It invites spiritual change. I didn't want to step into a puddle of slush water again and again and again. 38 steps guided me in the right direction.
Is there one particular step that just when it came to you, when you heard it in your own mind and heart, that it transformed you right on the spot?
There was a thought that came to me, and it said, take small steps towards the new opportunities. So with new opportunities, you have to move forward. You can't stay put. You have to move where that opportunity takes you. And so that stayed with me, Janine. That stayed with me.
Very wise. Take small steps, you know.
Take small steps.
Again, I'm always thinking of the trends we're in these days, where we just have to do so much so fast, you know, so big, so bold. And it really isn't helpful.
It's true.
Oh, Gilda, we're up against another break. I'm getting so enthralled in this conversation.
Okay. Very good.
Hold
very
on,
good.
Everybody. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Everyone has an interesting story, and those stories can answer important questions. There's an open invitation waiting for you on The Road with Cove Queen Janine. Join Janine and her guests from all over the world, with people from all walks of life, with fascinating stories on The Road. This out-of-the-box hour is on every Wednesday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Let's meet there. Remember, we all have great stories to share.
If you're living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer. If you're ready for a better way, step through the doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
What does courage mean to you? To Philomena Tripp, it means living the life you were born to live. Author of Invisible Courage, Philomena Tripp shares with us the importance of self-worth and how necessary it is to love who we are. Born in 1955 with multiple birth defects, no arms, and only one leg, Philomena knew in order to survive, she would have to rally all her courage, faith, and persistence and live fully. Invisible Courage, a personal story of one woman's desire to beat the odds, finding success, falling in love, and most of all, discovering that her life matters. Find Invisible Courage on Amazon or by visiting philominatripp.blogspot.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Road with Cove Queen Janine. I am your host, Janine Willett Sullivan. You can hear my show on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Wednesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we're speaking to Gilda Arruda. She is the author of License to Live, 38 Steps to Your True Self. We're having such a great conversation, Gilda. The time is just flying by.
Thank you.
Before we get off on another very interesting part of your story, tell people how they can reach you, Gilda, if they have any questions or comments.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They can reach me. They can email me at gildaarruda03@aol.com, or they can message me through Facebook. Look my name up.
Excellent.
And message me.
Mm-hmm. So they just would search for Gilda Arruda and possibly Gilda Arruda, License to Live. Do you have a page just for your book? Okay, great. So look for Gilda Arruda and Gilda Arruda, License to Live, 38 Steps to Your True Self, and you'll learn all about Gilda and her experience, and certainly worth checking into. Gilda, before we continue, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you launched your book at the end of January, and here we are at the beginning of February this year, zipping along. You're out and about on a book tour already. Where are you going to be this week, first week of February 2018?
First week of February, I will be where it all began. I will be back in Florida. I will be there doing a talk, and I will do a book signing February 9th at Select Home Decor and More, 5054 North Ocean Shore Boulevard, Palm Coast, in Florida. The time is 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's where the whole thing started, where I retreated to. And that's where I'm going to kick off book tour.
Excellent. So anyone listening, if you're in the Florida area and you want to, if you're near Palm Bay, is that what you said, Gilda?
Palm Coast. It's
Palm
Ocean Shore Boulevard, Palm Coast. And the name of the store is Select Home Decor and More.
Excellent. Okay, well, everyone, if you're in that area, please pop in and meet Jill there in person and hear her story and pick up a copy of her book, License to Live, 38 Steps to Your True Self. Jill, you're at a different phase of life. You've really done the work. You're passing through a sort of a new doorway, a new portal to a new adventure as you go on about your book tour. How are you feeling as far as the momentum of your personal life, as we said earlier, apart from all the other roles?
You know what? I see this path, and this path is guiding someone, someone's personal passage to help make a difference, to help make sense of one's existence, to help to be a resource for change and coping with that change, because change embraced me first, and then I embraced change. So I am so excited about License to Live, because it changes your perspective on your life. You don't have to stay at that sad place that you are. You can move forward. And so one step at a time, I move in the direction to help someone in their crisis, to enable them to enrich their own life. And because of that, I want them to achieve what they want to achieve. Everybody achieves different things in their lifetime. What I achieve for me is not the same thing Janine is going to achieve. So you may be achieving something different, but whatever Janine's achieving is helping me towards my direction of achievement. And we, and this is how this works. We all help each other by sharing. Share your truth. By sharing your truth.
Well, that's well said, you know, sharing your truth, you know, and again, you know, I was kind of saying that at the beginning of the show. We tried to put up these little walls, these facades, that sort of thing, and we become so frightened to be honest about our own feelings and to be honest with our circle of people. It's all common ground. Who hasn't experienced loss, trauma, all the rest of it? And here's what we're doing is to build the bridge between these concepts that we're so different from one another, and we really are not.
That, oh, my God, what a truth. We're so different and yet so much alike, you know. And this is where this 38 Days to Your True Self, the License to Live, this little booklet, it's a compass to self-care. It rehabilitates the wounded heart and prepares it for new revelations and transformation. And so how does it do that? It's my sharing of what I went through. What you went through about a year and a half, and that you shared online, it's like I felt that. I felt that because I've lost a dog. I've lost my mother. So it's like you tug at the heartstrings when you share your story.
It's true, and thank you for saying it the way you have said it throughout the show, because this is real life, and that's what we do here on the Road with Cove Queen Janine. We're talking about real life. Now, you're at a whole new plateau of your life. You have never been here before.
Correct.
Yet you're showing us how to move into this new area of your own life courageously. You're not sitting back saying, oh, you know, whatever, it's a breeze, and it's you've talked about the grief, you've talked about the loss, and you've talked about the self-motivation. What did you just say, a compass for self-care? I love that phrase. It's a wonderful way to put it. It's a compass. It's a directional. You know, we don't necessarily wake up and know exactly where we're heading. Gilda, this book sounds like a tool for well-being.
It is. It is. It works with your mind, because your heart feeds your mind, but your thoughts, sometimes you just want to quiet them down, because before you speak it, you're already thinking it. And this book just confirms, you know, what you're thinking, and brings that out. You know, like you said, it's a compass to self-care. It changes you. I call it my conscience companion for my difficult times. It's a companion that I You know, carry it with you. Put it in your pocketbook. Turn to that page that you need today. Because every day there's a new thing. If today you might be feeling about this person. Today you might be feeling about a job, about a person, a thing. And so there's pages in there to help everyone in every circumstance.
Mm. You know, it's remarkable in 38 steps, which, 30 days or so changes a habit. So in 38 mm-hmm. days, a person who just looks at this book daily over the 38-day period mm-hmm. of time really mm-hmm. can change the direction they're moving yes. into something more mm-hmm. true to themselves and more
that's
empowering.
Right. That's right.
It's a wonderful gift you're giving us, Gilda. Are people going mm-hmm. to be able to find this book on Amazon?
Yes, they will find it at Amazon.
Okay.
They can also email me. They can check and see where I'm going to be doing book signings.
Okay.
I am open to events, retreats, church groups, any group. I'm open
okay.
to all suggestions and hopefully to see many of your listeners there.
Oh, we'll give your email address again in case anyone wants to make arrangements with you
sure.
for a lecture.
It's my it's my name, Gilda Arruda, 03@AOL.com.
That's great. I want to remind everyone to go to dreamvision7radio.com, click on my page, The Road with Cove Queen Janine, and you'll see all the information Gilda's shared with us today, a little bit of information about herself and her contact information, her Facebook page, and all the rest of it. Gilda, you know, you've told us that your passion is writing. Has this something you've experienced for many years, or is this a new passion for you?
Actually, it started in 2003 when I released my first book. I was actually mm-hmm. a medical assistant, and I left the medical field to write my first book. The first book was on my sister and how my mm-hmm. sister was misdiagnosed and mistreated by the same doctors, the group of doctors that I worked for. So that was my first book, and it was released in 2003. It's out of print. I still have copies if anybody is interested. They can give me a call. Please don't pay the price that's on certain websites. And so anyway.
So people, if people want other books that you've written, the best thing is for them to contact you by email. And for License to Live 38 Steps to Your True Self, go to Amazon. Or they can contact you by your email as well. What's next for you? You are in the process now of launching your book tour, but what do you have any other books that you're working on or other goals that you may not have set into play previously and you are now?
Yeah, actually it's so tricky because a writer never stops writing. We just continue to write. And so I think I'm going to, in my mind, pay homage to my mother and write about that. But lately I find myself drawn to ego. I'm writing on ego. I don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's going to take me, but I'm writing on ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
As I said a few moments ago, you are in a place you've never been before. You are cluing us all in that it is not as frightening as we might think it is to be at these
Correct.
New plateaus of life. And
Correct.
It sounds like there are things just bubbling up in you, thoughts mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. You probably have a well of things that are just mm-hmm. popping up one after another, the newness of being at this stage of life with this open territory all around you, liberating or terrifying? How would you describe it?
I describe it as both, because sometimes you can find yourself between both. it can be very uncomfortable. A change can be very, very intimidating. And I felt like I was in the in-between limbo of uncomfortable and awkward stage of moving forward, because the newness can feel like that. You're uncomfortable because it's new, you're moving into something new, and you're awkward because you've never done that, you've never been there. So you will, when you're doing something that's totally foreign to you, to yourself, you will find yourself in that in-between limbo of uncomfortable and awkwardness. How long you stay there depends on you.
So would you advise people to bear with that awkward state, that uncomfortable state? I think these days people don't like to feel too uncomfortable, and we kind of squash that as soon as we detect it. But would you recommend that it is an important part of growth, personal growth, to sit with that uncomfortable, awkward feeling as we approach a new plateau in our life?
That's where the courage comes in. The courage, and you ask yourself, wow, it's uncomfortable, I can't do that. Or you say, wow, it's uncomfortable, okay, I can do this. It's because I've never experienced this. This is new to me. And so my favorite that stayed with me, that came to me, my favorite quote that I can give you is, seek out your own will. Trust your instinct. Don't be afraid to say yes. Don't be afraid to say yes to something new. You know, and you will understand, your gut, with your instinct, will let you know. But it is common, and it is normal to feel that.
Gilda, that is a perfect place to leave our conversation today. Trust yourself. You have been a delight to talk to today.
Thank you.
I thank you for joining us here on the Road with Hope Queen Janine. It's been wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Janine, and thank you to your listeners. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Join us next time for The Road with Cove Queen Janine, as she brings us another insightful person eager to reveal ways to build stronger, more meaningful lives and relationships. Tune in for The Road with Cove Queen Janine every Wednesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.